This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal Aqibatu Lil Muttaqeen. Wa Salatu Wa Salamu Ala Ashrafil Anbiya'i Wal Mursaleen. Amma Ba'd. In today's setting, we are going to discuss foreplay. If you recall, when we concluded in our last session, we spoke about physical and psychological preparation. And we mentioned a number of things that a husband and a wife should do in order to prepare themselves for the actual encounter. Now that the husband and the wife are prepared psychologically and physically, the first thing to speak about and discuss is foreplay. Now, foreplay is extremely important both for husband and wife. And the objective of foreplay is to prepare your mind and your body for the physical encounter. It prepares you basically. Therefore, there's a lot of emphasis in this in the Sharia also. There's a number of scholars writing about this in their own subjects and in their own books. Foreplay is extremely important for the husband and the wife, but it is more important for the wife. They say a man is like a light bulb. Switch on, he's ready. And a lady is like a stove or a microwave. She needs time. Now the problem is the man is finished and she's just starting. And that's where the frustration builds up. Therefore, it's extremely important that the husband allows for the wife to also get ready, and therefore foreplay is extremely crucial. Otherwise, it's going to become selfish. She's going to think that you're only worried about your needs. Your needs are satisfied, and what about me? I'm unsatisfied. You haven't fulfilled my need. And the husband is finished, she's just starting. Therefore, there's a lot of resentment. What was meant to bring you people closer is now creating frustration and friction. So, a man is like a light bulb. He can start anytime, anywhere. A lady, on the other hand, requires time to physically get into the moment and also to emotionally get into the moment. For that, you have to accommodate. Therefore, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave us directives in this regard, so that both can then have a pleasurable and a gratifying union. That's the whole objective. Now, moving on further, let's look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كُلُّ مَا يَلْهُ بِهِ الرَّجُلُ الْمُسْلِمُ بَاطِلٌ إِلَّا رَمْيَهُ بِقَوْسِهِ وَتَأْدِيبَهُ فَرَسَهُ وَمُلَاعَبَتَهُ أَهْلَهُ فَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the games that you guys get involved in is all futile. It's a waste of time, no real benefit. However, except for archery, except for training one's horse, and for playing with one's wife, for these are acts of praiseworthy. Subhanallah. So everything else is futile. But this, he included being affectionate and playing. He's indicating towards foreplay that playing with your wife is part of the praiseworthy acts. So he's dispelling the notion to say that don't think that this is against piety. No, you can't do things like this, Mulana, astaghfirullah. No, it's within the decorum of the Sharia to do so. It's fine to engage in foreplay and so forth. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, in his book Ihya ul-Ulum writes, he quotes a narration, although the chain of the narration is weak, but the narration nonetheless is an important one. He says that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you should come onto his wife like an animal, but rather there should be between them a messenger. And they asked O Nabi of Allah, what is meant by a messenger? And the Nabi of Allah replied, kissing, meaning foreplay. I mean, it's not an animal deed that you are doing. Animals just get done with things. We are humans. We take into account the needs and the sentiments and the emotions of our partner. Therefore, we approach intimacy also with a total different mindset. How beautiful is our Sharia? How beautiful. The Sharia says, fulfill your needs, but do it like humans, not like animals. Subhanallah. Ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayhi, a famous scholar, who's a Hanbali scholar, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said to not begin intercourse until she has experienced desire like the desire you experience, lest you fulfill your desires before hers. Subhanallah. Ulama have addressed these issues a long time ago already. Subhanallah. Let me reiterate those words. Do not begin intercourse until she has experienced desire like the desire you experience, lest you fulfill your desire before hers. So this is basically to set the tone and to dispel the notion of those people who think that it's against religious propriety and it's against piety and taqwa to get involved in such actions. For them, they think you must just fulfill your needs and finish. No, you will study the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, how beautiful his intimate life was also, and how beautiful his private moments were also. He teaches us how to live with one another. Subhanallah. May Allah's mercy be upon us all, mashallah. Imam Munawi rahmatullah alayhi says that foreplay and passionate kissing before relations is an emphatic sunnah, and it is disliked to do otherwise. Subhanallah. So he's basically saying in simple words that do not disregard this in, as far as an intimacy is concerned. Now, a point of reflection, how many of us actually spend time in this? How many of us actually give regard to this? How many of us actually take this into account? A man just thinks that because he's ready, he feels that if I'm ready, she's ready. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't mean that you are ready, she's ready. She needs time also. She needs to prepare herself mentally and also to get into the moment. Remember, when you give each other time, it's a more pleasurable union. Now, I just want to mention one thing. A lot of people rely on outside aid and they want to take tablets, etc. But they don't understand the concept behind this. They think that they require external assistance. It's not that. They don't need that. It's more to allow for yourself to settle and then get into the act. Now, the person totally overlooks foreplay and then they say, Maulana, you know, maybe something is wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you, brother. You are absolutely fine. It's just that you are not spending time. You're not allowing your own body. You're not allowing your own body to warm up and get prepared for the moment. And this is something that we overlook to a great deal. Now let's look at some general guidelines as far as foreplay is concerned. The first thing is kissing. Now, to kiss one's partner or to kiss one's spouse is an essential part of foreplay, and it is also the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Abu Dawud, kana yuqabbiluha wa huwa sa'imun wa yamussu lisanaha. Our mother narrates that the Nabi of Allah would kiss his wife whilst he was fasting and he would suck onto the tongue. Mashallah. In our terms, we refer to it as French kissing. But the Nabi of Allah would engage in this with his wife. And they are relating this to us so that we can also implement it in our house. So kissing your wife is also part of the sunnah. So kissing is also important. It's all about taking your time. Taking your time. And kissing is not restricted to the lips and to the mouth only. A person is allowed to kiss other body parts also, like the cheeks, the forehead, the tip of the nose, behind the ear, the neck, etc. It's all permissible. You're not only limited to the lips or to the mouth. Talking about kissing and caressing one's wife, it is permissible for a person to kiss or to caress the breast of a person's partner, and it's one of the most effective ways of arousing a lady, because those are erogenous zones for a person. Now the reason why I mention this is many people abstain from this, thinking that no, we can't do this. And some people are doing it, but they feel guilty that maybe we're doing something wrong. Talking also about kissing, let's talk about love bites. Now, we know love bites occur very regularly between partners. The rule of thumb is, Islam frowns upon public display of intimacy. So if there's love bites on the body, that's fine. But if it's in areas which other people are able to see, then that is reprehensible. It's something that you should avoid, because what Islam does is that Islam wants to keep your affair totally private and secretive. That is why the hadith gives such a stern warning that the worst of people on the day of Qiyamah will be those people who became intimate with one another and then they go reveal what happened between them to others. Obviously, this is not actively done, but it's something we should take care of. The next aspect is about licking of food from one's spouse or from the body. This is strongly discouraged. We approach food with a different mindset. We need dua before we eat. Bismillah wa ala barakatillah. We wash our hands. We sit in a manner and we eat. We praise Allah whilst we eat it. We show respect to the food. Now, all this is overlooked when you are intimate. I mean, putting food, that's showing disregard to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, licking of food and doing those kind of things is reprehensible and a person should abstain from. Moving on further, as far as foreplay is concerned, it is totally permissible to stroke or fondle the private part of your spouse. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, in Fatawa Hindiya, there's the incident mentioned of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi inquiring from his ustad Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, and he said, "O Honorable Imam, what is the state of a man who touches his wife's private part and she does the same for her husband in order to get aroused? Do you see anything wrong in that?" Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied, he said, "No. Rather, I am confident that one will be rewarded for doing so." Subhanallah. The reason why we're discussing this in so much is because of the pornographic world that we are living in. People are exposed to it somewhere along the line. If they are not exposed to it to themselves, they hear their friends talking about it or in their social circle. And naturally, the curiosity comes in the relationship. They also want to experiment. And this is one of the things that we face, that the wife will call or the husband will call and say, "My partner wants to do X, Y, and Z in the relationship. Please advise." So therefore, there's a need for us to discuss these matters nowadays. So to fondle or to stroke the private part of each other, just to arouse each other, is totally permissible in terms of foreplay. It is also permissible for the husband to use his fingers to make his partner reach her climax. It would also be permissible the other way around, where she uses her hands for him. However, self-pleasure is not permissible. It's permissible if the husband does it for the wife and the wife does it for the husband. But it is not permissible for a partner to do it for themselves. The next aspect is, can the husband and wife see each other without clothes? It's a very serious question. So there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a sahabi. He says, "Ata Uthman ibn Mad'ud Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faqal." A sahabi by the name of Uthman ibn Mad'ud came to the Prophet of Allah and he asked, "Ya Rasulullah, inni la astahi an tara ahli awrati." "O Nabi of Allah, I feel extremely shy and awkward. I feel out of place that my wife is watching me without clothes." So the Nabi of Allah asked, "Walima? Why do you feel awkward?" Meaning, when you are halal for one another. "وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلَهُمْ لَكَ لِبَاسًا." When Allah have made them the garment for you, and Allah has made you a garment for them. Meaning, there's nothing wrong. You can see each other. There's nothing wrong with it. Another Sahabi came and he asked, "O Nabi of Allah, tell me what is the guidelines in this regard?" The Nabi of Allah said, "Protect your chastity and your private parts from everyone except your slave girl and your wife." Meaning, with your wife you can become intimate on this level. MashaAllah. And this is one of the objectives of nikah, to fulfill each other's needs in a permissible way. Remember, if you're fulfilling each other's needs, inshaAllah, the bond of marriage will be very strong. Now, the most important question that a lot of people ask is oral sex. So, in Fatawa Hindiya, which is a classical book of the Hanafi school which we refer to, in there it states that if a man inserts his penis into the wife's mouth, it has been said that it is disliked, and others hold that it is not disliked. So let me explain this. In Fatawa Hindiya, there's two things discussed. The one group of ulama mentioned that it should be discarded because a person uses his tongue to make the dhikr of Allah and to recite Quran and to perform salah. Therefore, they hold the view that it should be discarded and it should not be allowed. The second group of ulama mentioned, they say it's just like kissing any other body part of the body. Therefore, like how other organs are permissible, this is also permissible. However, precaution should be taken that no fluid goes down the mouth. So the wife and the husband may use this in their relationship. However, precaution should be taken that no fluid should go down the mouth. Now, you can practice on either of the ruling based on your challenges that you face in your relationship and the kind of environment that you find yourself in. That is why the flexibility is there. There's both views expressed in this regard. Moving on further, let's look at other contemporary forms of foreplay. For example, using sex aid such as vibrators that stimulates a person at the time of intimacy. What is the ruling regarding this? So the ulama mentioned that it would be permissible, however, there are certain caveats to that. There are certain conditions attached to that. Number one, if you are using an external aid, it must not cause harm to either party. Number two, it should not be used by yourself. That means a husband cannot use toys on himself. Likewise, the wife cannot use toys on herself, irrespective of the situation. Number three, it can only be used on the outer private part and not in the inner private part. So if you're using the external toys or the aids, it would be permissible with these conditions that I stated. It should not harm. Number two, it should not be used by yourself. And number three, it should only be used on the outer part of the private part. Moving on further, as far as foreplay is concerned, a person can use lubricants, lotions, gels and creams. There's nothing wrong in that. It is totally permissible as long as there's no haram ingredient in this. So you can query with your doctor or whoever you trust, and it is safe to do so. Another common question that people ask is about dancing. So let me read the fatwa out to you and the ruling that the ulama have written. As for dancing in front of one's spouse in private without music, this is allowed provided it is innocent and decent dancing. It is, even if it is sensual and provocative, it's fine, but it must not be associated with corrupt, immoral, such as lap dancing, pole dancing, and belly dancing. So basically, if it is modest in a private setting, in a way that is within the framework, it's permissible. The other thing as far as foreplay is concerned is bondage and flogging. Now, people are reading these novels and they're watching these movies and they want to try it out in their own bedroom. Remember, from the Shari'i perspective, it is not allowed because وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Allah says in the Quran, we have given respect and dignity to every human being. This kind of pain that you inflict on your partner, it is not permissible. You're inflicting pain in a way where you are leaving marks. You're abusing your partner and you're thinking that you're deriving pleasure from there. It is not permissible. So bondage and flogging is not allowed. Especially if it leaves imprints and marks on the body. Another thing is pornography. Believe it or not, it's becoming a big thing in our community also, where the husband is unable to get himself excited without watching pornography. This is sad. It's disgusting. I mean, what respect do you then have for your wife? And how secure and safe does she feel in your relationship? I mean, there you got a supermodel and they shooting in multiple scenes after multiple intervals and you thinking that that is the reality. Your wife feels inadequate. You think that it's helping you get aroused. And in the meanwhile, it's breaking the fiber of your relationship. Pornography is haram. It cannot be used in your home or in your relationship to get yourself excited. That's bad. And I've dealt with cases like this where the wife says, Molana, the man doesn't want to get involved in the actual act and is more happy to pleasure himself watching pornography. That is sad. And a person who's exposed to pornography, what is his perception of a woman? Can your wife ever meet up to that expectation? And when she can't, what is that? It's breaking communication. People are not happy with one another and there's just fights. You can never get satisfaction from watching pornography. You can never get peace and harmony in your relationship by accessing filth in your relationship and thinking, oh, Mona, you know, we just innocently learning a few tricks. Show respect to your partner. There's another thing that has crept into the community, and that is urinating on one another. They call it the golden shower, where the husband urinates on the wife and the wife urinates on the husband. That is how far the Western world has gone. This is not accommodated in our culture. We fulfill our needs within the framework of the Sharia, not like animals. We regard intimacy also as an act of ibadah. In fact, the Sahaba asked the Nabi of Allah, that how is this an act of ibadah? And the Nabi of Allah said, because you are doing it in the halal way. If a person had to do the same thing with someone else, a person would have been punished for that. So we fulfill our needs within the framework of the Sharia. We don't do it, we don't approach it like animals. We don't approach it like animals. We fulfill our needs like believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and to practice in the Sharia to the best of our ability.